committee, the Board of Adjustment, H, and I'm conducting the meeting as the chairman of the Board of Adjustment. The members of the Board of Adjustment have copies of the agenda. Anybody got any comments on the agenda? Something want to move to the accepted agenda as it stands?
Aye.
Thank you. In the packet, there's the minutes from the April 23rd meeting. Anybody got any comments on those minutes? Accepted. Okay, we have the case that's before us this evening, case number 1302, request for a variance filed by supposed to be Mr. and Mrs. Law, Mr. Law. And the question is related to the fireplace on 242 North 3rd Avenue and involves the provisions of the Town of Greenwich zoning ordinance chapter 19, section 19329, modification of required yards. So that's the case we've got it here. Any conflicts of interest that exist in the board members?
No.
We have a number of who's administering the oath tonight?
Okay, anybody wishing to testify this evening, please sign in. Have you signed in, Cody? Okay, please sign your name. This evening, please stand. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. Okay. I swear to tell the truth.
I swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay, please be seated.
Are you able to hear everything? Does he get everything he needs
to hear? He has hearing aids, but it's really hard for him to hear.
So don't hesitate to stop us if he's missing something. If he misses something and he wants
to
know what it is, or so, you know.
Say if you're not hearing something and you feel like you need to hear something, stop him and they'll explain.
Is that okay?
Okay. John will be...
Okay.
My name is John Batson, Business Special Town of Greenwich Beach. Board members, for you tonight is an application for variance for 242 North 3rd Avenue. That's a brand new house, long built, finished late last year. The variance request is for a cantilever fireplace into a required side yard. Looks like it extends 2 feet into that required yard. A new November, I was asked to complete a final inspection. The final inspection failed because I did not have a final as-built survey done on the property, and the landscaping was not installed. On November 6th, I received the as-built survey, and after review of the as-built, I noticed that the fireplace is hanging 2 feet into the side setback. This is a corner lot. The side setback off of M Avenue is 10 feet. Town ordinances do not provide for any cantilevers into the setback area, and in the longings of fence, their building plans did show a fireplace on them. But the plot plan did not, neither did the final as-built survey. The purpose of the plot plans and the surveys are to show me that pervious surface restrictions are being met and that setbacks are being maintained. Anything covered by roof, concrete, or in the setback area should be noted on the survey. I know these ordinances well. I would not have given verbal permission for them to cantilever a fireplace into the setback. I'm citing two ordinance sections. The first one is 19-320, and it talks about control of setbacks. It says that the only things that are allowed within a setback are a fence and beach walkovers. Another part of the code does provide for some things to extend 18 inches into the setback. And that section is 19-329, modification of required yards. And it says architectural features such as fire escapes, cornices, eaves, steps, gutters, buttresses, open or enclosed fire escapes, outside stairways, balconies, and similar features, but not carports or porches, may project not more than 18 inches into any required yard. While not on the list of architectural features, fireplaces could be considered one of those. So you could consider a fireplace as an architectural feature. Once again, this house is on a corner lot. The required setback where this fireplace is cantilevered is 10 feet, but it abuts the roadway. And in my opinion, it does not affect the public safety or welfare by its existence. There are other issues with the property that will have to be resolved prior to the CO being issued, and you can reference those issues from the letter from April.
Okay, any questions? Okay, thank you. So are you going to speak first?
Sorry.
Are you going to speak?
Yes. He may want to too, but I'm...
He's welcome to his own.
Hang on. You ready for me?
I'm ready.
Cantilevered fireplace was found to be 2 feet inside the setback by the Board of Adjustment on March 26th. The ordinance allows for certain architectural features, which John just addressed, to be extended 18 inches into the setback. We attached to the paperwork is that section, and of course John has already said that that was true. We're requesting a variance allowing the fireplace to extend an additional 6 inches along the ordinance's specifications as an architectural feature. This cantilever is in a 10-foot setback as opposed to a 5-foot setback. And it's about 25 feet from the actual street pavement because we have a 10-foot setback, and then there's another 15 feet before we get to pavement. Then we have a road, then people across the street have a setback, so we're probably 60 feet from another building. It's 10 feet off the ground, and we're asking for 2 feet instead of the 18 inches. I don't see that that's impervious surfaces when it doesn't go to the ground. That, to me, is a conflict with, it is not, I thought impervious surfaces is where something's sitting right on the ground. When we applied for the building permit, we furnished John a set of plans, we furnished set of specifications, a 4-truss layout, and they all show the cantilevered fireplace and 2x6-inch walls. And 2x6-inch walls are going to cause something to be out a couple more inches than 2x4-inch walls would. We verbally showed him where we plan to cantilever the fireplace. Now, he didn't say it's okay to put that fireplace in the setback. I don't know that that was exactly our question. We just said, you sit here, we plan to cantilever this fireplace, and he said, oh, that'll be fine. We had a foundation plan, and all we've ever put on a foundation plan is the foundation where the house sits. And it showed a 35-foot wide house, and it was on a 50-foot lot. We had a 10-foot setback on one side and a 5-foot setback on the other side, making that 50 feet. So that covered the lot size. We pointed it out because a 2-foot cantilever would obviously be in the air over the setback. We pointed it out to be sure it was okay to build it. The building inspector said it was okay to do the cantilever. The building inspector gave us a permit after he studied the plans for 3 days. He inspected that house 5 or 6 times on each individual inspection. We had a string up. The survey was done before we bought the property. And we had the survey markers, so we put a string up, so we could measure from the string to the foundation, which I know he did a couple of times anyway to see that we were within our 35 feet, and that it was off the setback. If he had told us that we were in violation before granting us the permit, we could have reworked our plans. But it's a hardship now for us to have to comply. We cannot use the property, we can't sell it, or we can't live it. And that's our intent when we built the house, and it creates a hardship because now we've got 2 houses, one of which we can't do anything with. We had Stuart Jones, a certified and licensed surveyor for many years, to do the plot plan. Stuart says he never puts any part of the structure on a plot plan unless it touches the ground because it's not part of the foundation. Obviously, he was telling us the truth because he didn't put it on there. If ordinarily he put it on there, it would have been on there. The cantilever is not interfering with anything in the setback. It's under the box and it's next to the street, which means we have 10 feet there. There are cantilevers, there was a fireplace, closets, decks, breakfast nooks, all over here. There's also gas tanks and air conditioning units and outside showers, and they sit on the ground. They're in the 5-foot setbacks, and we have nothing as mentioned in our setback except that little cantilever. The building inspector says in a memo dated February the 28th, that in the Lloyd's defense, their building plan did show a fireplace on it. He said never detected there was a problem until the house was finished and signed off for permanent power. There's a copy of the power company's letter in there from the power company saying that they did consider it to be final when they turned the permanent power on. We relied on him to give us guidance about the cantilever. I can promise you that cantilever would be there today if we had known we couldn't do it, because Richard's been a building contractor for many years, and there's always things that you have to change or modify or whatever. We don't see any negative impact or attraction from the neighborhood, land, or character. It's a beautiful house. We've received a lot of comments from the neighbors. The neighbors that have stopped and talked have told us how beautiful the house is and how happy they were that something was put on that lot besides what was there. It adds street appeal. It actually is aesthetically attractive. And photos of our house are in your packet. This small cantilever, about 5 foot wide, does not harm neighboring properties related to value or visual appeal. It does not encroach on neighboring houses. It's on the street side with about 25 feet to the pavement. It's up 10 feet off the ground. It does not impede any emergency situations such as fire and rescue, and it doesn't block any views. Does not block any stop signs, and the closest house is at least 60 feet away and across the street. The house is completely finished with the power on. It's beautifully landscaped in it. We can't live in it. We can't sell it. We can't rent it. We relied on the building inspector to tell us what we could and couldn't do, and obviously, somewhere along the line, there was some miscommunication, and we didn't understand that we couldn't do it, and we were allowed to completely finish the house, and it would be a hardship now to have to make a lot of changes. There was a variance granted by the Board of Adjustments in 2007 about an encroachment. It seems to me like it probably was a lot more serious than what we have. We haven't been able to use that house for almost a year. We paid taxes on it, insurance on it. It's been almost a year. We didn't even know there was a problem 3 months after we thought we had the final on pass. And the only reason we hadn't moved into it was because our house hadn't sold, so we just didn't move until we were sure which one we would have to sell, because we need to sell one house. We need to get rid of one of them. It's a very big hardship on us. I think John has said that he doesn't see that it impedes anything, and I talked to somebody at the fire department, and they don't see that there's anything wrong with it. It's not causing any problems as far as anybody or anything, I don't think. We've got a couple different people interested in buying the house because obviously we could sell it. They, one of the issues that came up at the meeting before was the well cover, which we felt like we didn't, it wasn't big enough for building permit. We didn't feel like we needed to move it, but we did move it. We had someone come, they moved the tank. The well was within the setback, but the cover was not, because the tank and the pipes and the wiring had been put on the side that was closest to the street. So we had all that changed, so the well cover has been moved where it complies with the setback. And I think that was the issues that you folks were concerned with. The other issues were what John was concerned with. Is there anything anybody wants to ask me?
Any questions?
When the house was being constructed, did you know the width, the total width of your house?
Oh yes, definitely. I put it on the foundation plan that we gave John.
The total width of the house.
Oh, the 35 feet, yes. And I give it, and everything said that we had the plans, the trust plan, and everything said we had a 2 foot cantilever besides that 35 feet. So
but
yes,
you didn't have anything on your plans that showed the total width of your house was 37 feet and not 35 feet.
Well, the plan showed that, yes.
Did it show 37 feet?
I don't know exactly what it said on the plans, but it showed the 35 feet for the basic house, and then it showed a 2 foot cantilever.
So, I'm just trying to understand, did you understand the setbacks?
We understood the setbacks. That's why we asked about a cantilever.
So you knew there was a 10-foot and a 5-foot that allowed you to build a 35-foot house.
But we didn't realize that it had anything to do with something that was overhanging. The overhangs out 18 inches. So, you know, we never thought about anything other than the air causing a problem. But we did. Apparently, we had some concept that there was a possibility, because that's when we showed John the plans, we said, Richard said to him, now, I planned a cantilever this fireplace. You see this? He said, yes, he did. He said, that's okay. Well, it seems to me like if there was a problem with being in the setback, he would have said, well, now, let's be sure it's not in the setback. If he had said that, there'd been no problem at that point. We could have changed it, but no problem whatsoever.
But what you're telling me is, in telling the board, that no time did you realize that you were building a 37-foot wide home?
With the cantilever, yes. We knew we were building 37 feet wide.
But you knew the ordinance only allowed for 35?
What's on the ground, yes. That's why we passed.
You have a cantilever fireplace that we've talked about before. So why have you not chosen to remove the cantilever fireplace?
Well, if we do, it's probably going to cost $10,000. We're going to be without a fireplace. If we had done it in the beginning, we could have rearranged where the fireplace was going. Now we'll even have to remove it. It will entail inside and outside work, hardwood floors, sheetrock, wiring, probably even plumbing, because I think there's some pipes that go through there, custom-made mantle, marble around it, and we'll lose all that value because when we take it off, we don't have that anymore. We've already spent the money for it. It's a lot more than the $10,000, but it would take another $10,000 to remove it, so we just think it's... And, you know, we relied on John. And we relied on John too much. We've always relied on an inspector to tell us if we were doing something wrong.
But one of the things that I'm trying to understand is we knew that the house was bigger than the setback, and it's still a contractor's responsibility to meet the ordinance that the city has in place.
What's an inspector's responsibility?
But it's the contractor's responsibility to meet all ordinances. The inspector does, you know, he inspects, he does all...
That's why we ask. why we ask.
I wasn't there. I'm just telling, you know.
That's why we ask.
But, you know, if a contractor makes an error, it's still his responsibility to correct the error.
I never made the error. The error was on the paper for the inspector to see. What if you got an inspector that's going to cause you a problem later and he don't call it attention when I give him the plans?
I understand. I'm just trying to really understand that we knew we were putting the 37-foot wide home.
It's not a 37-foot wide home. It's a 35-foot wide
home. But you have 2 feet that it's in the cantilever overhang. It makes it 30, it's still 37. If you do a drawing, an as-built drawing today, it's still going to show 37. When the tax people come out, it's going to be 37. Is that not correct?
I have no idea. The surveyor, who's been in the business probably 30, 40 years, maybe longer, I don't know, he said he never puts anything, if it's hanging up in the air, he does not put it on the plan. And obviously he doesn't, because he didn't put it on ours.
What's the problem in the error that's caused
there? And it doesn't cause any problems. It's there now, and we'd like to have a variance so we can leave it there and use the house. I don't see that it's hurting anybody or anything. I mean, this is a lot of stuff down that's hurting a lot more than that is. In 5 foot setbacks.
Did you get? I think you said you had an approximate price what it would take to fix it, but since the last hearing, you didn't get a price of what.
Well, him being a building contractor, he can pretty much figure up what it's going to be. We haven't gotten estimates on it yet. They're hoping we don't have to do it. But yes, it's probably going to take at least $10,000 to fix it. And we won't have a fireplace. It'll be gone.
And the value of the house.
And the value, it'll decrease the value of the house, whether we live in it or whether we sell it. It'll decrease the value of the house. Plus, we've already spent all the money to have to put in there, and we'll lose all that value. John has said he doesn't see any problem with it being there. It's not impeding anything, not causing any problems. He's also said that it's a well-built house, well-constructed house, and he didn't find anything else wrong with the house itself. There's no code violations at all.
And I agree with you. From our last hearing, I think the two issues, one you corrected, the other one was, is the cantilevers, the fireplace going into the setback.
Right. And I look at it as we've got a 30-foot wide house with a 2-foot cantilever, about 10 feet there.
Which makes it 37 feet. Orders.
Which is what?
37 feet.
That makes 37 feet, yeah.
So. And I'm just trying to look at the facts. And we have the ordinances, we have, I know what the tax. Office, you know, when they come to measure a house, they're going to measure it 37 feet.
Where's he going?
I have no idea what they do.
So I'm just trying to understand, you know, what.
I think maybe I should just let Richard stand up and you ask him these questions, because I'm not the contractor. He doesn't hear well, so I'm trying to, you know, explain our situation to him.
Oh, you're going to stay there with him, and so you're going to.
Just switch places with me and you talk a little bit.
What is the overhang? Is you going to count it in the house or not?
It's part of
the. And it's allowed to be on that house.
I didn't say it wasn't allowed to be on the house. I said it goes into the setback. It makes the house 37 feet wide.
It makes it in the air 37 feet wide, not on the ground.
But the house is still 37 feet wide, and that's the part that.
No, the house is not 37 feet wide. The house is less 2 feet. Where do you get it? I don't live in that end of it, and it's up in the air. I don't understand where you're saying the house is such and such when it's not. He passed the house and not passed the foundation. So we're not looking at that little cantilever, which is 2 foot or less. It gained 4 inches because I told him I was using 2x6 walls for the strength and for the sound and for the energy factor. Now, where am I living in that 2 feet that you're calling a house?
I didn't say you were living in that. I said it goes into the ordinance says about the setback, and that fireplace
that
protrudes
house
into
is the setback and was passed as the way it was. Okay. licensed man that does that often.
I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to tell me.
When you have a plot plan and he comes out there and he agrees to what's on that ground, is that not what is in the setback? When you go up in the air, are you going to say that the overhang that runs the water off is over there, is 2 feet? That's making it 2 feet each way, 2 and 5, or 2 and 4, or 20.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying
to... And if I'm under that, how are you saying that I got a 37-foot house? I don't understand you. I don't know where you're coming from.
We have an ordinance that is here for the town, and we're trying to understand, you know, your...
Well, I understand it. Apparently, you don't.
Let me just clarify something. If we're going to grant a variance, then there has to be some hardship involved. And so what you're saying is that there was an error made on either your part or there was an error made, and that's the reason that you're asking for the variance, because of that hardship.
I think there was an error made. I think on John's part, maybe on ours. I feel like our error is relying on what he said rather than researching it further ourselves, maybe. But, I think John made a mistake, and we obviously made a mistake by putting it up there, because we've been through a lot this last year. And, you know, when you have houses and we're trying to pay taxes and insurance on new houses, and you're paying payments, and you're paying this and that and the other, obviously it's a hardship. And it's a hardship for us not to be able to move and use that house. That's still our intent. We can sell the house we're living in. We still intend to live in the house. We didn't build it just to sell it and make money on it. We really built it for ourselves. Day one, we told John we were building it for ourselves, and we were. But Richard is a licensed contractor, so can build for other people. We just, at our age, we don't build for other people anymore.
John, is this the only thing holding up the CO?
No, ma'am. There's some other small issues.
I think it's the only thing that you all are concerned with. Some of what he said is corrected, because the signs are gone. Obviously, we couldn't sell it, so the signs were gone. And, some of the issues are settled, but I've got something for him from the man who sold us the windows that tells me what the windows are, which he was questioning whether we had the right windows. Said he didn't look at the stickers or whatever.
Tony, you said that the taxes will show that the plot is 37 feet now. Have you received a tax bill from New Hanover County?
Yes, I did. $481,000-something.
They usually have a little plot plan they put on their website that shows it.
Well, I have it put on the website. I'm from the old school, so I do write it out.
They usually make it different colors and everything when there's something different sticking out or forward.
They could. I mean, I just don't remember, but I know they show it the schematic diagram.
Show the garage, they show the living space, the heated space, and all that stuff. As far as I remember, that's the way it is.
Yeah, they will do that.
But they don't show fireplaces, heated space, or living space.
Have you looked at it, John?
I have not, but I think point of order needs to be made. We're looking at a 5 foot wide by 2 foot fireplace. That's it. It's not the entire length of the building. It's 5 foot wide, 2 feet out. That's it.
Well, what stops somebody from building all the way around the whole house? 2 feet.
Well, ordinance does. Section 19-329 and 320.
And of course, Ms. Long, you realize that well, maybe you don't, but hardships go with the land, not with finances and so forth. If there was a river running through your property and you couldn't build within a certain area, there's a hardship. If there was a huge rock that went down 30, 40 feet and there's no way to get that rock out and you had to build around it, that's the hardship. The hardship goes with the land. It does not go with person that is building, whether or not you have to spend $1 million or something. That's not a hardship that we recognize. The only hardship we recognize is something that goes with the land. I'm just bringing that to your attention.
You said everything you wanted to?
I guess so. I might have some closing statements.
Okay. We have other witnesses. Somebody else is going to speak.
My name is Gilbert Austin, and my family, we live right there at 301 Fort Fisher Boulevard, 305 and 309 is our store. I'm in the vacation rental business, and in the past, my other neighbors, we've gotten letters from the town that were certified, letting us know what their neighbors were doing. And I've always said, it's fine with me, it's none of my business. That's my attitude. But this time, something different happened. I was very upset with the fact that we lost parking along M Avenue. And that was never brought to our attention when they were going to build this structure. I'll show this to Andy, and I'll show this to y'all. That's a picture I took in July, this past summer, when we were what I call making hay while the sun shines. We have a very short season, and we have a high impact of tourist traffic. And we have people parking around our house that aren't even staying with us because it's town property, it is public property. And I've actually had my guests say, there's a car here, it's not ours. And I said, well, I can't do anything about it because that's town parking. And when I sit back and try to figure out who's parking there, well, it's somebody going over to the post office because the post office parking lot is full. And so somebody pulled in beside my aunt's house. I spoke with my aunt and uncle last night. They were notified about any kind of parking changes along M Avenue, and they said no, they weren't going. So I'm having to testify that I did speak to the actual owners of that house, which my aunt and uncle, which I manage and rent from them. But I think if I'd have known that we were going to lose parking like that, I would have come sooner to an official board. I did bring this up to different department heads throughout the town, including the mayor, and I'll testify that I did bring it up to the mayor about losing the parking there. So I do have a complaint about losing that parking right there along M Avenue. That's my only complaint with the structure. Austin, A-L-T-H-I-N-E.
Gilbert, you're saying that the lawing house has lessened parking on this?
She's here so she can defend herself if she wishes, but you can see the picture there that there is.
Is their house not here on the left side?
That is their house.
Okay, what parking are you referring to?
There is, may I approach?
Yes.
If you look, there is, that's the fence.
Okay.
And then you have the stakes and string. And then you have this grassy area. Cars used to park there. There used to be a driveway that ran in this direction. Building inspector, they made the plans to put that so we don't have, there was a driveway there.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that.
All I'm saying is, whenever the structure was built, I didn't know we were going to lose parking along M Avenue. All right. I'll
wait back. May I sit up again?
No, I'll sit down. Does anything else you need to ask me?
Thank you.
May I respond to that? Yes, when we bought the property, there were a lot of cars parked on it. But we bought the property, and we fixed that section, just like all of the other houses in that neighborhood have fixed their streets, and nobody parks on them. There's some across from me. There's some in all directions, and you don't see anybody coming up and parking in their yard. They have right-of-ways, just like we have a right-of-way. No, it's not my problem that his properties are built right up to the street where they have no parking. If you rent property, you should have parking for your people without them having to go out on the street or somebody else's property. We put the sod out there to make it look beautiful. If there's people park all up down that street, of course, that sod's not going to be there. Because they'll destroy it. People park there and go to the beach. They park there and, I've never seen the post office lot full, by the way, but anyway, we took that corner and made it beautiful, just like everybody else in the neighborhood has done, and nobody else is having any issue, he's not having any issue with anybody else.
Throwing trash.
In that area that has fixed it where he can't park. So I don't think that's a very valid consideration. All I'm interested in is getting a variance for the fireplace.
I don't think that's right. Gilbert, thanks for the issue, but I'm not sure that's nothing we can do to deal with it. And that needs, I don't know if that needs to get referred to, but it needs to get referred to somebody in the town who can deal with that issue. Anybody else wants to ask questions, give testimony? I was going to say to you before, we can't establish precedence here. We deal with each case as it,
I understand,
as it stands before us, and changing the ordinances is a whole, whole different issue. It's not our job to change the ordinance, but ordinance we can refer the issue for discussion with the town council, but you know, it's not our job to change an ordinance.
And previous variances, they go case by case. It has nothing, this case has nothing to do with any case before it or any case after it. Each case is on its own merits. And anything that was done in the past was even brought up at a council meeting several years ago. And it was in the ordinance that we are not to be held responsible for anything that was done prior to ordinance changes and so forth. So we're not required to. The only thing that I see that we need to do is determine whether or not this can be an architectural feature, number one. If we determine this is an architectural feature, then 19329 will allow us to grant this variance with full knowledge that it's an architectural feature. If it's not deemed an architectural feature, then we go back to 19329 and we cannot grant the variance. That is something I think we need to discuss and determine whether or not, as it says in 19329, modification of required yards, architectural features such as fireplaces, cornices, eaves, steps, so forth, so on, are architectural features. Carports, porches are not. This is not a carport. This is not a porch. It's a fireplace, and it's 6 inches over the setback, or over the 18 inches that are allowed. And even if it's an architectural design, they're only allowed 18 inches into the setback. This, again, even if it is an architectural design, is now 6 inches more. So do we give the lawns consideration and allow them to encroach 6 more inches? And if anything should happen to that home, if anything should happen to that fireplace, it cannot be put back.
I feel like if you do this, then you're gonna have to rewrite everything so that you can. Other people are gonna want to do the same thing. I just feel like it's just opening up a bag that you're gonna have to keep dealing with for everybody that builds a house on Cary Beach.
Well, I think the answer to that is what I just gave. Just each case is considered in isolation. There's no such thing as a precedent. So. Another house in another place.
I just feel like people sometimes do these things just pray and hope that the inspector doesn't catch it.
If you look at it as an architectural feature, we have an ordinance that allows for 18 inches.
That's it.
So if we decided it's an architectural feature, then it's allowed to be 18 inches.
By ordinance.
And that's what we have to work with. We have to work with the ordinances we put in place, and we are making decisions, variances based on that.
Questions that we have to answer are, did the applicant follow ordinance requirements of Chapter 19? This is where we give our opinions and vote on each one of these to determine whether or not we would grant the variance.
Before we do that,
okay.
The vote has to be just majority or 4-1. Don, we're not overturning anything that you said here.
No, we're not overturning.
John? But we could, we're not overturning anything you've said. This is just a variance.
Just a variance.
So it's a majority vote that would decide whether the variance is...
And that's a question, you got a town attorney here.
Yeah, I know, I correct it.
Your rules of procedure say a vote of 4/5 is required to vote in favor of an applicant for a request for a variance. So vote of 4/5.
So it has to be a vote of 4/1. All right, so let's go through these, questions. But did the applicant follow the ordinance requirements of Chapter 19?
Well, they submitted a plan. They came to the building inspector to have the plan approved. I don't know if the plan was complete all the way through its construction stages, but they did submit a plan to the building inspector, so I think that's part of what Chapter 19 is all about, is that they submitted a plan, they got approval from the building inspector initially to start construction. So I believe that, in my opinion, I believe they did follow the ordinance requirements.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding on that, just for a little clarification, is just did they follow the procedures to come before you for a variance, is my understanding. So that one's not...
Okay. So we're saying they followed the ordinance requirements of Chapter 19 by requesting the variance, even though it's requested after the fact.
That's my understanding. That, you know, unless there was some flaw in how they brought the variance forward to you, and I don't think there's been any evidence of that.
Okay. So let's vote on that. Did the applicant follow the ordinance requirements of Chapter 19?
I say yes.
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 Yes. Yes, okay. So that was five yes votes. Discussion number two. Does the evidence indicate that the hardship of which the applicant complains results from unique circumstances related to the applicant's land and is a result? Or is it a result of the applicant's own actions? Some comments on that?
It doesn't result in the land.
No, it does not. But the hardship does not go to the land here.
But is it a result of the applicant's own action?
I don't, it doesn't run with the land, but I don't think it's necessarily due to the land.
They file a plan. And as we're looking at here, the actual, you know, whether you want to say in the air, not in the air, whatever, it's still, you know, 35 plus 2 feet. Mm-hmm. And it's still a 37-foot wide structure. May not be 37 feet of living space, but it's still a 37-foot structure. And they knew it was a 37-foot structure. They knew it was 35 feet and then 2 foot for a cantilever and fireplace. So I believe it is a result of the applicant's own action.
Yes, because if you would follow the 19-329, it would only be 18 inches.
Correct. That we could have allowed 18 inches, yes. But we can't allow 24 inches.
Because if there's nothing there that in the ordinance that says it has to touch the ground or it could be 10 feet in the air. There's nothing in that ordinance.
And then again, we can only allow 18 inches and not
24.
Not 24.
So that would be, it's not a hardship of the land and it is a result of their actions.
I believe it is. Well, a result of their actions.
Any other comments?
No, I agree. It's completely agree.
So we're voting. How do we vote here?
So you do it just like it is one.
Yeah, just like it is
one, I believe. There is no hardship with land, and it was there.
So it goes no?
No.
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 Thank you. To grant me a variance, preserve the spirit, and keep harmony with general purpose and intent of the ordinance. What do you mean? This obviously has got, lasted a long time and got quite contentious. And I understand Tony's point is it's the general contractor's job to know what he builds and how he builds. And therefore, has basically responsibility to make sure that the house that was built meets those requirements. I'm not sure when I heard the testimony that you have the 35 foot on one plan, and if you look on the other plan, there's, you know, the cantilever didn't show on that plan, it shows on another one, whether there's not a gap in the way that stuff gets presented to the town in order to make sure that that's. Handled correctly.
I could see how things could get presented to John in several different blueprints and in different times, so piecing it together could be a little challenging, especially if there's time that's elapsed. Again, it's still the contractor's responsibility to know the limits. That's the way you do the survey on these small lots, is to know what you can build on those lots. So that's the way that I understand it and believe.
I also think that this wouldn't be the only general contractor that would rely on the word of the building inspector rather than taking that responsibility upon themselves, because that's kind of a challenging thing to do.
Exactly. So. Because this is what all the rules are for all contractors that would build here.
And from my point of view, I don't know that anything we do here, I mean, we could, you know, if we grant the variance, we would be effectively breaking the ordinance in my mind. I don't think that's necessary. Not preserving the spirit and harmony, and keep harmony.
That's a variance.
As I read the ordinances, that there was provisions made for 18 inches for some exceptions, with a lot of thought behind it, a lot of discussion, and there was not clarity on the height above the ground, or this, you know, cantilevered out. There's no guidance with that, so, you know, my thoughts are 18 is the rule, not 24.
Well, the only comment I can make is that if you look at number 2 here, it does not detract substantially, it doesn't detract at all, in my opinion, from the character of the neighborhood. That's the only comment I can make of it. I understand that 18 inches if it goes under architectural.
Again,
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, this is the ordinance, it's in place.
So we should,
are you thinking that we need to maybe make a recommendation after this is over with planning and zoning to look at that ordinance and make a determination whether or not it's going to be in the air or the ground, and so forth?
I think there's a little more clarity to put there, but, you know, if you look at the provisions that we have, and you say it's suspended or touching the ground, it's still only 18 inches in 19.329. It only gives us ordinance to work with.
And that's why they're asking for a variance.
True.
To get away for the extra 6 inches is why they're asking for a variance.
That's true.
Because the ordinance won't let them do that. So they're asking us if we will bend the rule for them as long as they have one time to grant them 6 inches. And it's only them, and it's not going to be anybody else's. The only other thing is, like Sandy said, we set a precedent that other people down the road are going to want to do the same thing. Well, as long as we have a competent, and we do have a competent building inspector, hopefully he can catch anything and stop it from happening in the future. Or they can come to us again, and we can listen to it and make a decision. But at this point in time, I think that it isn't the land, and it is their fault. However, the ordinance says, as number three that we're on, that it's only going to be 18 inches, and they're asking us to give them an extra 6.
If this had been on the other side of the building where it would abut to another building where it's 5 and 5, it definitely would be an issue for me. Because I've also been through complying with this ordinance on a duplex that I built before. You know, the air conditioners, the other duplex built first, mine built second, so I had